Thursday night. Friday night is testing. So you have opportunity tonight to be sure to be prepared for testing, essential testing, that you review the film Harlan County. And then you will realize that it is not a race question. The struggle for socialism, the class struggle,
is a matter of economics. You will see just as quickly how the police, the sheriff, the National Guard are willing to machine gun the white working class as they are the black and the brown. It's an eye-opener, and you need to see it a second time to be prepared for testing. All else that's required to pass the fundamental test, so you won't have extra classes, is to review last night's People's Rally. Please understand, last night's People's Rally. If you want to avoid the next test that would fall on next Tuesday, don't fail to miss any of the news that I'm giving now. I hope that others of you who don't have to take this next test that I named off yesterday, you can check with Comrade Mike Carter. He has the names, or Comrade Donna Casanova, or Wesley Breidenbeck, or any of those, Candace Guevara. They have the names of those that have to take extra classes and those that had excellent, so that you do not have to take an extra class this time. But I do hope that you will not lose interest in the news. We will have a great failure then, because we need to raise our socialist consciousness. Remember, before breakfast, it's an absolute essential. I'm demanding and expecting the supervisor of political enlightenment,
first of all, ladies and gentlemen,
Comrade
on
Red
behalf
Edwards,
of Black Velvet,
to test you on those essentials, the Chinese phrase.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the pride of Jonestown. They need no introduction, because their name is their fame. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Jones presents Black Velvet.
Work on me, how? Work on me, work me over, all over. Work on me, yeah, baby, work on me, work me over. Now listen, girl, why don't you scratch my back? Make me relax. Why don't you rub my head? Give me a bounce and then dance, girl. Work on me, ah, well, work on me, work me all over. Work on me, yeah, baby, work on me, work me over.
What's in my ear, baby? You treat me like a king, you fine young thing. Do anything, baby, to keep me satisfied. Baby, prove me, move me to my girl. Work on me, yeah, baby, work on me, work me over.
I like it.
Now we got one, only one question to ask you. This is very
and the
serious
DA
question.
Of Chicago.
We'd like to know just how long do you think it takes to fall in love?
In the summer of 1970, Houston, Texas police surrounded the Dowling Street and attacked the entire black community. And the moving force of the organization.
We throw at least one away. Walk the streets for half a year. Trying to find a new career. If you get a flu attack, put 30 pages on your back. Through the night I've seen you dance. And you give me half a chance. Girl, it only takes a minute. Go, go, go. To fall in love,
on the same day, to fall in love, it only takes a minute, girl, Wally, who to fall in love, to fall in love, the remains of comrade Baba Tunde, at Omawale, were found lying across railway tracks in the deserted area of Chicago, Illinois, by the local police.
You can spend your life beating time while waiting for your interview. It can shoot the whole day for you. Yeah, now we're just gonna touch the screen. And you haven't accomplished a thing. Now, baby, leave a little time. Cause you never know what's on my mind. Love.
Here's the news that we should not forget, because our tax dollars pay the FBI and the Chicago police. We have guilt on our conscience, if we have any feeling at all.
When you want to find yourself in there,
the Frelimo leads Mozambique
seconds,
to improved quality of life.
When you see a man there,
the People's Republic of Mozambique marked the third anniversary of independence. The period after the birth of the People's Republic, Marxist Leninist Republic of Mozambique, has witnessed sustained development programs to revolutionize the active heritage of Portuguese colonialism that had been upheld by the U.S. imperialism. As the following, we are giving you from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, explain. When President Somalia,
Ladies and gentlemen,
please,
what you do right here,
you're going
to play. Put your hands together. I want you to clap along with us. And when I say, clap your hands, clap your hands. Look at everyone, please stand up right now. Come on and join in the song with us.
In no way diminishes the greatness of our struggle, said President Zamora.
Come on, clap your hands, y'all. Come on. I can hear you.
The society is being reshaped
on socialist
Marxist-Leninist principles and practices developed during the armed struggle with the maximum involvement of the people of every stage. Land, schools, the health services, the hospitals, the doctors, the legal practices, the rented property, and even the funeral services are all nationalized in the first year of the 3 years of independence that they have enjoyed. Nationalization of industrial or commercial concerns has been limited to those found guilty of illegal practices and few exceptionally important areas such as the Sonarep Oil Refinery, S-O-N-A-R-E-P, but abandoned farms, absentee landlords, factories, shops, hotels, restaurants, and theaters, and other businesses has also been taken over by the people, the government, the Marxist state of Mozambique. To give substance to the slogan, People's Power, however, Frelimo has gone beyond the concept that nationalization is the same thing as socialism. Factory workers, for example, are now beginning to play a full part in the production process, including decision-making. Otherwise, you have a form of national socialism rather than a true democratic people's socialism. The worker must participate in the wealth and the decision-making, as our own beloved government of Guyana has started to do in the various industries that have been nationalized here. This development has been accompanied by courses in political and technical education to prepare the workers for the important tasks ahead. And today, the beginnings of a trade union organization are functioning in scores of industrial plants all over the beautiful Marxist state of Mozambique on the western coast, southwestern coast, or southeastern coast, rather, of Africa. This embryo organization takes the form of elected production councils whose tasks include all the people, all participating in the process of government, seeking ways to raise production, deciding on salaries, improving safety conditions, assigning work, and handling workers' social problems. In spite of USA-backed attacks from Rhodesia and the apartheid fascist state of South Africa through our tax dollars, they continue to build to resolve all social problems. There is still a state management and the country's overall industrial policy which sets the framework within which the councils operate. But the Mozambican worker is no longer the passive recipient of orders. And since the councils started towards the end of 1976, there has been a noticeable rise in production in many factories. Many others are still running about capacity, but the same capacity that was in the last stages of capitalism, which is a credit to the Marxist state. Lack of raw materials and skilled manpower, breakdowns, sabotage by the capitalist backed by U.S. imperialism, shortage of spare parts, transport problems, these are still creating difficulties, but the general trend is upwards and onwards towards socialism. The countryside, too, is being transformed. Within the last 3 years, around 1,500 embryo communal collective villages, cooperatives like our own in Jonestown, have been started. And although many are still in the formative stages, hundreds of thousands of Mozambicans are already living and working collectively as we are in beautiful Jonestown. Naturally, there are serious problems involved in the villagization program. There has occasionally been bad selection of sites, and in some villages there are difficulties in supplying seeds, farm machinery, and consumer goods due to lack of roads and embargoes placed by U.S. capitalism and her lackeys, and lack of transport facilities. But a national commission with the task of guiding, planning, and coordinating the economic and social development of the communal villages of Mozambique was set up this year, a sign of the importance which Frelimo, the Marxist-Leninist revolutionary cadre, attaches to the program. Alongside the communal villages program, there is a growing cooperative movement. In many cases, cooperative production grows from the communal village, and in others, it is the villagers which grow from increasing cooperation between smallholders. There has also been a heavy stress on the setting up of state farms, collective farms such as ours. Some of these are huge, like the Limpopo, L-I-M-P-O-P-O, agro-industrial complex in Gaza province, which covers 15,000 hectares and employs 2,750 permanent workers. Hectares, a little more than an acre, so you can see the size, and tens of thousands more at harvest time. The complex also has factories for canning tomatoes and other products, milling rice, the main and essential food of all the people of the world, making sausages, drying vegetables, and a sawmill, in addition to 7,000 prime dairy cows and 16,000 beef cattle, whereas before the revolution 3 years ago, there were no cattle at all. In the field of education, literacy has taken priority, and literally tens of thousands of Marxist Mozambicans have learned to read and write since independence from capitalism and colonialism. Illiteracy is nearly eliminated, however, and it is planned yet to train the 3,400 people that are still left that are illiterate in that few numbers of millions. Literacy teachers in a campaign which began this year include 2,400, almost a teacher for every illiterate person. Since independence, more than 2,000 primary school teachers have been trained and about 12,000 have taken refresher courses. Primary schools attendance jumped from about 690,000 in 1974 to 1,800,000 last year. The number of high school or secondary schools increased from 43 to 203 in 2 years. In healthcare, too, a dramatic transformation in Marxism is underway. The emphasis now is on disease prevention through education and healthcare. Playing an important role in the strategy are the agentes polivalentes elementaris, men and women chosen by their rural communities to take an intensive 6-month course in preventative medicine, returning afterwards to serve their villages with intensified medical knowledge. More than half the population have been vaccinated in a campaign against smallpox this year alone. Tuberculosis and measles and smallpox was this year declared completely non-existent in Mozambique by the World Health Organization. That is what they have done in a country, in a continent that is surrounded, of course, by other socialist fraternal states, receiving strong assistance from Cuba, Soviet Union, and People's Republic of China. Quite a different situation than we face in Guyana, and yet Guyana is making great strides. Parallel to all these economic and social developments, the country's leadership has energetically set about creating the party and state structures which are intended to make the Mozambican Marxist-Leninist revolutionary process irreversible. That means it can't be turned back. The prerequisites, The ground rules for this was established in February of this year with the creation of a Marxist-Leninist avant-garde, as the Russians would say, party to replace the liberation movement, which has already fulfilled its main task, the winning of political independence. The new party created by Frelimo's Third Congress retains the name Frelimo, but unlike the old movement, its ranks are not open to every Mozambican. Today, Frelimo party members must be dedicated to the principles of dialectic materialism, of scientific socialism, as well to the nation. As well as loyalty to the nation. In a nationwide campaign underway at present, the party is sinking its roots firmly among the people by taking in thousands and thousands of new members. The candidates for membership are not only screened by their fellow workers or villagers who are familiar with their qualities or shortcomings, but are also screened by the party before admission. All this is not to say that the Marxist-Leninist state that is now just 3 years old in Mozambique has turned into a paradise, but the prevailing atmosphere is one of confidence and conviction and readiness to sacrifice today in order to reap the benefits tomorrow, and they have been successfully these past days able to withhold back the forces of imperialism attacking them from the Union of South Africa and Rhodesia's white pirate regime, fully equipped by our tax dollars from the USA CIA. A federal judge ruled last week that former Central Intelligence Agency agent Frank Snepp III has violated his contract with his spy agency in writing an unauthorized book about what he had been ordered to do, and they ordered him to turn over advance royalties from the book to the government. In a 14-page ruling, Judge Orrin Lewis claimed that Snepp had breached his position of trust with the CIA in publishing his book, Decent Interval, without first obtaining clearance. The book concerns the CIA's evacuation of Saigon, now Ho Chi Minh City. At the end of U.S. involvement in Vietnam, some 65,000 copies of the Random House book have already been sold. Now, the ex-CIA agent faces a felony charge. By the way, he had been moderate, as well as the one that had written about the CIA operations in Angola, but both ended up in Cuba at the youth festival. Having seen so much criminal activities in the Central Intelligence Agency USA, they are turning more and more to a socialist world. FBI spies at Democratic meetings. Three members of Mississippi's delegations to the last Democratic National Convention acted as informants for the FBI COINTELPRO that was supposed to be already ended before Carter took the presidency. Continuing with the news of the day. There's always a great deal of news, and we have to take that which is more important and leave some things behind, because there's always some of the news that has no real bearing on what we are trying to bring across. The Voice of America. Finance. Chase Manhattan Bank increased its interest rates to 9.5% on savings and loans. This means home loans and mortgage rates will go up to as high as 22%. U.S. inflation is out of control, said the Chase Manhattan Bank under Rockefeller's control. The World Bank registered serious concern as to whether the U.S. economy will be able to continue. Any easing on consumer prices will not last, and prices will be rising again next month. Big jump in steel and color TV sets. We are having to import them from abroad because we cannot afford the labor cost at home. There's an increasing demand amongst labor, though they're not organized due to the boss, capitalist boss, George Meany of the AFL-CIO, that has strip the unions of their free trade union status. Nonetheless, unions are more and more, like Harlan County, demanding at least a cost of living increase. New York Times reporter Farber, because he's an establishment newsman, has been released. The reporter is released from jail. He refused to comply with turning over all of the records of a confidential nature. However, the New York Times, as typical of the servants of capitalism, agreed to turn over some of the evidence. I guess the good correspondent of the ruling class New York Times, Farber, was not able to withstand the pressure of jail. Los Angeles City Council rolled back rents to May 31st after there's practically a renter revolt because Chicanos and blacks have been militantly opposing the increased rates of rent. The Los Angeles police killed last night 7 black people and 4 Chicanos in their rebellion against the increasing police state mentality of Los Angeles that you fortunately were freed from before police state concentration camps, nuclear war, or earthquake caused it to tip off into the ocean. Senator Pryor, group of 5 that have gone to Cuba to investigate the assassination of President Kennedy, in increasing attempts by the United States Senate to link falsely the assassination of President Kennedy to communist Cuba. Rome, threat on U.S. diplomat. Yugoslavia citizen demanded passport to the West. He took the diplomat hostage, but he was then captured. He has been charged with murder in Yugoslavia, the non-aligned communist country under the leadership of the great guerrilla fighter Marshal Tito. Major League Baseball games went ahead in Philadelphia, even in spite of a restraining order preventing the strike of the umpires. The baseball teams did not have respect for one aspect of their teamwork. They gave no respect for the umpires. 7 umpires will be ordered to appear before court for sentencing. Tornado in Memphis, Tennessee has reached to $37 million in losses, all in the fast food service business, the quick food services like McDonald's. Loans to small businessmen are to be given to reimburse for the tornado from the dwindling federal fund for emergency for acts of nature disasters. President Carter says, though reluctant to station troops on the West Bank of Gaza Strip, he is leaving this option open, as his secretary revealed by putting his foot in his mouth. U.S. definitely has intentions of placing troops in the Near East and the Soviet Union and Syria and other African nations in the Organization of African Unity say they will not stand by and allow this to happen. In a change of heart for schizophrenic black Uncle Tom Ron Dellums, he said that with the Puerto Rican people, more than 80% demanding to be free from United States, they should be granted their independence. Puerto Rican cities are in unrest and many riots, I should say revolutions, are breaking out throughout Puerto Rico because they do not wish to be a part of imperialist USA. Diplomatic relations with Vietnam will be established, according to CBS, within 6 months, because there's no grounds to do otherwise, said the Senate and the Congressional Investigating Committee that had just come back from Vietnam. They said they had well housed and fed their people. They have completely rebuilt the cities that U.S. destroyed. They are dropping their demands for reparations that are due to them for all of the horrible war damages inflicted upon them by our tax dollars through the U.S. military imperialism. Chrysler predicts the selling of 15 million cars and trucks this year, but at a higher rate, and many of them will have to go to the oil-rich Arab nations because the average Mr. American cannot afford a new car. Thousands of troops coming home from South Korea. According to my commentary I gave yesterday, these troops are going to be placed in
the Near East. For the time being, they cannot figure out what to do with them, said President Carter. There's no employment. They're going to be placing them in a kind of concentration camp environment, military barracks, in Massachusetts. But the rumor has it, on Mutual Broadcasting and BBC, that they are being planned to be resettled in the Near East to extend U.S. imperialism in the Israeli conflict. New York City, real estate World Trade Center, may be bought by a West German bank known for its neo-fascist leanings. They said solid American real estate is a good investment, and more it's being bought up by the Japanese, who have a surplus, and the West German neo-fascist, and the Arabs. 80% of the farmland of the United States is now in the hands of the Arab oil-rich nations. In New Orleans, and also Crescent City, California, there's been a walkout strike of teachers. 5,000 teachers and bus drivers in New Orleans. They want more money. The Board of Education has said they will either return to work in 48 hours or scabs will take their place. Moss County, Tennessee, strike of school bus drivers. Again, scab drivers, say the Board of Education, in the typical attitude toward the working class, will replace them and they will be jobless. President Carter speeds up his fight for an energy bill. Needs Senate approval. Trying to put squeeze on a gas deregulation bill to help the big monopoly corporate natural gas companies. Scandal money changing hands for work never done. The biggest scandal in U.S. history will perhaps reach $1 billion in losses through fraud in the General Services Administration. People have gotten secret accounts all over, in Panama, in Switzerland, in the little station right next to it, which for the moment I'm Liechtenstein, all the places that have secret bank accounts, a number of the U.S. government bureaucrats have placed secret monies by giving credits for work that was not done for a ripoff given back to them for cutbacks. The Nicaraguan army continues to try to quell the riots that have now sprung out all over the country. The civil war that the anti-communists feared have taken place. Five were killed. National Guard troopers were killed in 1 hour after they shot down a 12-year-old Nicaraguan boy in cold blood. 50 guerrillas in Mitagaza have been able to take over the city. Naturally, Somoza and USA is charging that these riots and rebellions throughout the country are communist instigated and inspired by Cuba. But it is obvious, says BBC, that popular support is gone to Somoza. He may own half of the land, all the newspapers and televisions, and all the car companies, but he does not have the will of the people. The General Services Administration, millions and millions have been given in fraud. Expected in the next few days are 50 indictments involving $66 million alone in bribes and kickbacks and work never done. More of our tax dollars that were thrown down the sewer. Governor Brown, contrary to his promises, when elected in California, signed a $1 billion tax cut that eliminates jobs for minorities, women, black, Indian, Chicano. He's turned out to be quite a chameleon, quite a turncoat. Abortions on a woman that she performed on herself, the first woman to be charged in the history of the United States in Kentucky, has been found innocent only by reason of insanity by the jury. She committed abortion on herself because she was barely able to feed herself. She had been without work for 3.5 years. Cuba, a free territory, the only free socialist territory in the Caribbean, demands United Nations help on Puerto Rican independence. Now that it has been clearly established by United Nations investigators that 80 to 85% of Puerto Rican people do not wish to be a territory nor a state of the United States that has controlled them since the Marines marched in several decades ago. They demand, Cuba demands United Nations supervision. This has also been requested by Panama and, fortunately, by our own Republic, Socialist Republic of Guyana. Many advocated independence, very few statehood. Philadelphia, teachers are threatening a walkout. Strikes are becoming the order of the day. The chief of staff, the chief aide, Brzezinski, of President Carter administration, says it appears that the executive is going to have to establish martial law to bring some order in the United States. What does that mean? That means fascism, the last stage of monopoly capitalism. He said in so many words, we're going to have dictatorial powers like Adolf Hitler had in the hands of Carter. They will continue bargaining for only 24 more hours before going out on a total strike. Richard Nixon, who has more popularity than Carter, 37% of the U.S. population said he was an excellent president, whereas only 25% now say that even Carter was a good president. He denied meeting with Foreign Minister of Pakistan. Carter administration said they did not care either way. They're afraid to take on Nixon because of his popularity. But it was denied because of other visits that he had taken. President Carter said they denied, the Carter administration denied that Nixon had indeed visited the Pakistan foreign minister, even though BBC, Radio Peking, Radio Moscow, Radio Netherlands, and Radio Sweden all say that Nixon had a 2.5-hour session with the foreign minister of Pakistan. He's meddling in governmental affairs when he indeed has no right to do so whatsoever. After with an ultimatum, the three suspected ministers of the Portuguese have pulled out of the government coalition headed by Prime Minister Mario Soares, and it looks like there may be basic economic turbulence coming for Portugal. Elements of the army are pro-left as high as 40%, so we are probably going to see another outbreak, perhaps even civil war, in Portugal. The International Monetary Fund has practically brought down that government. The People's Republic of Vietnam has publicly declared its support for the neighboring socialist Vietnam and has openly attacked China and Cambodia. As you know, Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge nationalist element, has taken over Cambodia and has killed the communist revolutionary and destroyed one-third of the population. Laos is distinctly and clearly in the hands of the pro-Soviet alliance. The government of Panama recently released a 14-page document laying the basis for the country's foreign policy, a policy calling for the United States to give up Guantanamo Naval Base in Cuba, to give Puerto Rico absolute independence and self-determination, and to return all occupied Arab land immediately that Israel, Zionist Israel, has conquered. The document also calls for efforts to establish normal relations between the United States and what Panama calls the freest country in the Caribbean, socialist Cuba, and an end to the United States trade embargo against Cuba and the Soviet Union. Panama has distinctly moved to the left. Thus ends the basic coverage of the news. I don't think there's anything else particularly that you would be at a loss for not knowing. I think you have gotten a pretty fair comprehension of the news. Remember to study your news very carefully on the blackboards so you will be able to pass the test, and know that you have to take the full tape and be able to pass the full tape of last Tuesday night's People's Rally, or you have to take the extra 3 days of classes. Those taking extra classes who did not pass, some very good members of Jonestown, will have 3 hours extra class tonight and 3 hours tomorrow. One of your hour will count by seeing what we want to be seen at the beginning of the evening, the Harlem County riots. The Harlem County worker class unison, black and white, against the profiteering capitalists. It's a beautiful, beautiful commentary of what could happen, even though they failed, even though they have been suppressed, even though they went on a 115-day strike and nearly starved some of them. It showed at least that some have not lost their spirit in USA before it ends up destroyed by genocide, concentration camps, fascism, and ultimately nuclear war. Vietnam rips China's role in Cambodia. The Communist Party of Vietnam denounced the Chinese rulers for masterminding the attacks on the Vietnamese border and for instigating the Cambodian rulers' assault on the Cambodian people. They said that China had indeed made great socialist progress for their own people, but their foreign policy was indeed imperialist. The lengthy statement published as an editorial in Nam Dan, the Vietnamese Communist Party's newspaper, is considered to be the first major condemnation of the policies of China in Cambodia. It is time for us in Vietnam to point the finger at the real masterminds, the editorial said, referring to the Chinese leaders and their strategy of expansionism and hegemony down to Southeast Asia. The Vietnamese communists noted that the new aggression in Southeast Asia comes on the heels of the defeat of U.S. imperialism. It also forewarned USA that China was only using them to establish a Chinese brand of international communism throughout the world. Thus ends the reading and commentary of the news. On our hands, unless we work our best to get them to freedom. I love you very much, more than you could know. I wouldn't put myself through these days and nights without rest, taking on your worries and your concerns. Help me, please, to build this by working better. Some will have to be brought up for counsel, because we are going to study Russian language in the next People's Rally. And we will just dispose of the matters, number of things that have been brought up, stealing, lack of work production, other antisocial patterns. It'll just be automatically referred to the jury of the people, the public services. Much love. For some time we were unable to find an answer to a contradiction between the problems ERA presents in its original form and our principal position and our primary concern for the problems of working class women. Looking back, it seems we place too much emphasis on the legalities of the ERA, Equal Rights Administration, our Equal Rights Amendment, and not enough on the struggle and movement. By combining, by raising simultaneously at the same time, the ERA with the struggles for concrete guarantees in the form of guaranteed employment, affirmative action for women, there should be no hesitation in giving our full support for the passage of ERA. We were never against the overall objectives of the ERA, or you should be one of their main objectives, release of Patricia Hearst. The main issue women face is the economic one. The black, Chicano, and Puerto Rican, Indian women of the working class face the economic problems as women, and then doubly so as women of racially and nationally oppressed groups. We must resist the constant pressures of the feminists to see the struggle for equality of women as being in every other area except the class struggle and the economic front. And thus far, the socialists have had no success whatsoever in getting the Equal Rights Amendment women backers to see that it's a class struggle, just a struggle for women, and it may be even a diversion that's been planned by the capitalist class. A number of capitalists back them, at least. The last convention was a turning point for the Youth Workers League, YWLL. It laid the basis for building a broader, more youthful Marxist-Leninist youth organization. But the struggle, we're 95% through now. But the struggle for the application of the new direction has not yet been won. The party, and especially the leadership, must accept a new kind of responsibility for this struggle. Needless to say, for the youth, the economic issues are key to everything. It seems to the Communist Party leadership of USA that unless the League is viewed as a mass organization, but one of very special kind, necessary to the class struggle against state fascist monopoly capitalism and for the building of socialism, the party will not put in the necessary effort to work regularly with it and help assure adequate cadre or strength at the party district league section level. The objective situation demands that communist leadership, socialist leadership, make a sharp change in our attitude towards the youth Marxist League, the young Marxist League. Oh dear, the old factor of ageism and jealousy. That's why it's hopeless in USA, because groups within the same party, the Youth Workers League, is the youth branch of the Communist Party USA, and yet the older ones are fighting with them and not helping them in their struggle. The enemy never gives up. When one path of penetration is closed, they find a new and more sophisticated path, a more well-developed path, in other words. In the plants, it is reverse discrimination. In the community,
the struggle against the public school system is put into the framework of racism. The struggle against the welfare system is put into the pattern of racism. It's all there. Racism is so rampant you wouldn't even recognize USA, some of you that have been here for a while. The struggle against low-cost housing is argued within the context of racism. Racism is brought into every issue connected with taxes, rents, or medical care. It's always there, showing its ugly head. We must continually seek for more effective ways of fighting this poisonous penetration in all these areas, because the use of racism becomes an obstacle to victories in these struggles. It divides the labor class in the ranks of the party. The influences of racism are even evident, my God, amongst the Communist Party. But he's honest to admit it. That's why it's hopeless. In a sense, it goes underground. It surfaces at moments. In attitudes of patronizing, condescending, insensitivity, in silence, and in unawareness of the true nature of the racist oppression against blacks, Indians, Chicanos, and Asians. As it is in broader movements, the struggle against racist penetration in our party's ranks must be constant and vigilant, because it's even more so, says the Communist Party leadership, in other socialist movements. Well, that's why it's hopeless. There is some let-up in the slander that we are foreign agents. Not much. Hearst is still ding-donging, and that guy that's always writing about us, Rupert Murdoch, a fascist, an open racist, they certainly call them foreign agents. But it is in its place, the charge is that we are politically and ideologically influenced totally by the Soviet Union. Well, that's the same thing. In this campaign of slander, the enemy now uses some ex-Central Committee members. In rejecting this falsehood, we must do it on principled and honest basis. A number of Central Committee members of the Communist Party USA have left it and become opportunists. I don't know whether you've known that through the news.
I haven't given much about it. We must not give...